Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:103. Psalm 139:12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 139:12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 139:12. Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 61:4. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. Would you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this morning. This is a magnificent verse of Scripture. It's a continuation of the preceding sermon and the verse. So we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, now verse 20. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, please. Father, we're thankful for this day, for the opportunity which is ours now, to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We are blessed individuals because we have opportunity to come into this auditorium and remove from ourselves the outside interferences, the distractions, and focus our minds while in harmony with our Lord upon these magnificent words. We realize that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility as believers to study and to learn and to find ourselves with divine objectivity, seeing things as God sees from a vertical viewpoint. We know that we have responsibility to do that. And the only way we can see as God sees is for us to have ourselves captivated with the person of Jesus Christ and saturated with his thinking, the Bible. So we pray that you'll guide us in these moments now of study. We pray and thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen, you're going to see the verse, Ephesians 2:20, which is a translation from the original text, the Greek. And so we're going to be looking at this just for a few moments today. It says, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, what I did, since I have this translation given to you in two different ways, one is that I have a larger presentation here. I want you to also see that when I'm working on the verse at home, that I have it in a smaller presentation. Same thing, but is in a smaller presentation. So I'm going to put this on the screen for you for a few moments and let you see that what I have here is an emphasis upon the word having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, in the morning session, the first session today, I gave you the word house, O-I-K-O-S, from the Greek. On the screen now, I'm going to let you, if you will, write these words down. I think that you'll find it interesting Because here's what we're going to see, that in the Greek, we have O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. And most of you who do not know the Greek language, that's okay. I'm transliterating, I'm taking the Greek letters, and I'm putting them into English for you. And so this is the Greek word. This is the transliteration, taking it from the Greek up here, putting it into the English. So here's O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. Now what we have here is two parts. First part is O-I-K-O, which is the part of the word oikos, which means house. In the original language of the Greek, the word is house. The second part of the word is D-O-M-E. I transliterated it for you, so you have it, D-O-M-E. And this means, for instance, a dome. So it means the building of a house. So we have the Greek word oikodome, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. We'll get into that more in detail in a few moments, but I just want to let you begin to look at something so that from here on out, when you're looking at the Greek language, you're able to see that this is a oikodome, and this is the way it is transliterated, taken from the Greek over to the English. Okay, here's a second word. You're automatically be able to see that there are similar letters. Here we have O-I-K-O-N-O-M-I-A. So here it is in the Greek, O-I-K-A-D-O-M-I-A. The word domia is a word which means the law. And so when you have the compound word, oikos and law, it's the law of the house. So that's easy to understand, isn't it? So I wanted you to see building a house, oikodome, oikodomia, the law of the house. Okay, now let's go on to another word. Okay, I'll tell you what let's do. In order for it to be easier for you, let me just say that if you have a house that is a spiritual house of the soul, that's where we get the expression spiritual house of the soul. It comes from these Greek words. And so a spiritual house of the soul could be a construction. Now, this is not a literal construction in your life. This is a spiritual application of the truth. So you could use the word edifice or construction, or you could say soul house. In other words, what we're doing as believers, we're growing and advancing, and we're building what we would classify as an invisible spiritual house of the soul. Does that make sense? In other words, what I'm trying to do is let you see that that's our responsibility as believers. It is to advance, to grow, to live our lives on a day-by-day basis in a proper relationship to Jesus Christ. We're to love Him supremely. We're to love His Word. We're to take in His Word, receive His Word consistently and faithfully. And in doing that, we're building what we're going to call an invisible house of the soul. This is not something you can touch. This is not something you can see with your physical eyes. It's an invisible house of the soul. We're calling it the spiritual house of the soul. And so it's found in a number of different scriptures. Ephesians 4:12, Ephesians 4:16, and Ephesians 4:19, 4:29. I had these marked in my Bible, but I'm not going to take the time to look them up with you, but I would like for you to write these verses down and put down Ephesians 4:12, Ephesians 4:16, Ephesians 4:29. And in all three of those verses, if you went to the original Greek language, you would find this word right here, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. It emphasizes the building of a spiritual house. So that's putting a terminology where you and I can understand it. It's building an edifice. It's building construction. It's building what we call a soul house. This is a noun. It's a structure. It's a building. It's not a tangible building. It's an intangible building. So what I encourage here as the pastor, and been doing this for 43 years plus, is to help each one of you as a believer to grow on a day-by-day basis, so that your invisible soul, your invisible house of the soul, will be enlarged. And the more that you use divine objectivity, the more you study God's Word, the more you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you're able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint. The reason why a lot of believers don't see from a divine vertical viewpoint is because they don't know the Lord very well, because they don't know His Word very well. They've not advanced and they've not grown in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So as a result of that, they face life with its problems and burdens and difficulties and disasters, and they are not able to see it, understand it correctly. They're not able to see it from a divine perspective, a vertical viewpoint. That's the reason why what I try to do, and have done this for years, is to teach you God's Word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, word by word, analyzing it from the original language, so that you and I can be constructing what we would classify as an invisible structure of the soul. And we call that the spiritual house of the soul. So we call it an edifice. We call it a construction. We call it a soul house. You can see it comes from this word right here, the house of the dome of the house. In 1 Timothy 1:4, this word is a noun and emphasizes the result of this building. In other words, the building of the spiritual house has its results. And so there's the Greek word, oikonomia, which means nomos is the law, which means the law of the house. And so if you and I advance as we should, there's going to be an invisible law that gives us direction on a day-by-day basis. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? In other words, we have the responsibility of seeing as God sees. And we cannot see as God sees unless we know God's Word. And so that's the reason why we study His Word from the original language on a day-by-day basis. And if you don't get it here, you can get on the Internet and get it when you're at home. So you can get it here when we are here together. When we're not here, on a daily basis, I would encourage you to get on the Internet, find where we're studying, and study with us. So you can have the development of the spiritual construction of the spiritual house of your soul. So we have edifice. This is a noun, a structure. And there's what the word looks like, oikonomia. Oikonome. And dome means the dome of the house. Oikos is the house. 1 Timothy 1:4 is oikonomia. The last part of the word is the law, and the first part of the word is house, O-I-K. It's a noun, and it emphasizes the result of the construction of the house. Now let's go to Acts 4:11. It's O-I-K-O-D-O-M-O-S, and it's a noun. It emphasizes the ultimate builder of the construction. Now, who is the ultimate builder of our spiritual house of the soul? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we study, we learn. We're studying verse by verse. We're learning. And Jesus Christ becomes the contractor and the builder. He does it all. He puts it together for us. Now, you'll find in another verse, it emphasizes the fitting of the house together. Danny knows all about this. He's just had a house to burn and then rebuild. And so he had to put things together. And there's weight-bearing sections, and there's an emphasis on this and that. I don't know all about this because I'm not a builder. But he puts it together, and he's come out with a fantastic, nice home now that's been rebuilt over a period of time. He's worked and labored diligently, but it's parts fitting together. And so that's the reason why this word is emphasizing that Jesus Christ is the one who's the builder of our spiritual house. When you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:11, here we have the word oikodomeo, and that's a verb which means to build or to construct or to edify. Now, I don't want to spend any more time there, but here are the words again, oikonomos, oikonomia, and then the others that I've given you. Okay, we're going to take just a few moments to take a look at our verse of Scripture here today. I've got it on the screen for you to see. Let's look at it. If you'll notice here that the O-I-K is found in this word right here. Here's O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. If you remember seeing this word, I've already given it to you. But in the Greek language, you have a prefix and you have a suffix. You have something at the beginning of the word, something at the end of the word, which helps us to understand how that word is used in the sentence. This particular word, the way it's presented to us here, means at a point of time, that's the aorist tense, the P stands for passive voice, subject receives the action, and then this is a participle. Most of you have learned with me that when you have a participle, it's a verbal adjective or a verbal noun that is not only conjugated as a verb, but is declined as a noun. I know that just went pew, over your head. And that's okay. I didn't expect you to get all that. I just want you to know that my responsibility is to know what it is so I can share it with you. So what we have here is EP at the beginning. Then you have this same Greek word, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. Then you have a suffix, which shows us that this is an aorist tense, a point of time in history. Passive voice, subject receives the action. Participle means that it's a verbal adjective or verbal noun, which means it's conjugated as a verb, it's declined as a noun. And you'll notice that it is a nominative, masculine, plural. The nominative case shows that it is used as a subject of the sentence. Right now I'm teaching Jason in the Greek, and we're dealing with second declension nouns, and we're dealing with the nominative case, which is a subject of the sentence. The genitive or ablative shows possession. The dative, locative, instrumental, indirect object. The accusative case, the direct object. Now, you didn't want to know all that, did you? But I'm trying to tell you that he and I have the responsibility of learning these things, and I'm relearning as I teach him. I'm learning how beautiful these words are in the original language. And when you find the little N here, it means that this particular declension shows that this word is used as a subject of the sentence. Now, there's a difference in a word used as a subject of the sentence or the direct object of the sentence or indirect object, but the Greek lets you know every bit of this. So you don't have to worry or wonder, am I translating this correctly? If you know the Greek, you will know whether it is subject of the sentence or if it's showing possession or if it's an indirect object, or if it's the accusative case, a direct object. So all I'm doing, the reason why I'm giving you that is to let you see how fantastic this particular verse is and these words are in relationship to you and me as a believer building this invisible spiritual house. I can't come up to you and say, man, I love to see your spiritual house. I mean, it's so nice. You have a 3-floor story there. No, I'm not able. Okay, so much for that. We got just a few minutes. Take some notes, please. Spiritual house of the soul. It's an unseen, invisible house in the soul, in your mind. It's an invisible, spiritual house in your soul. Now, you cannot look at me and see my invisible spiritual house. I cannot look at you. But you and I have the responsibility on a day-by-day basis of studying God's Word, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can advance and have divine objectivity. And if a problem comes our way, we can look at that problem from a vertical divine viewpoint. Now, let me tell you something. It's not always easy. So I'm not trying to throw out to you that this, just learn the word and it's going to be easy. We have been through 75 or 78 days now of a very stressful time with surgery and shingles, hysterectomy. I don't need to name all these things, but I want you to know that these things have not been necessarily easy for us, but we have had the responsibility of divine objectivity and looking upon things the very best we could from a vertical divine God viewpoint. You follow what I'm saying? That's a challenge. I'm not saying that it's always easy. I'm simply saying that you and I better be paying attention to what I'm saying now, because you may not think that what I'm saying now is all that important to you, but I promise you, if death should come to your family, or if serious illness should come to your family, you're going to be called upon to look upon that situation, and you need to look upon it from a vertical divine viewpoint, not from a human viewpoint. Because if you are looking at it from a human viewpoint and don't have a lot of God's Word stored in your life, you're going to be punching all kinds of panic buttons and falling apart and going to pieces. And you don't need to do that. My responsibility is to help you not to go that way. My responsibility is to help myself and our family not to go that way, so that we study God's Word daily and we metabolize as best we can the Word of God, so that whatever may come our way as far as disaster and difficulties and burdens and trials and tests, we're able to see it from a divine viewpoint. And you don't do that unless you have a construction, an invisible construction in your mind, in your soul. Okay, got to hurry. The spiritual house is an unseen, invisible spiritual house in your soul, in your mind. Number two, this invisible house can only be constructed by the Bible, by the truths of the Word of God in your soul. Many verses of Scripture tell us this. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:16. I'll not take the time to look up these verses, but I would encourage you to write these verses down and look them up. Number three, this construction is not in every believer's soul. That's sad. Not every believer is a growing believer. Not every believer spends time in prayer and Bible study every day. I don't understand it. I don't understand how any person could eat breakfast on Monday morning and say, I'm not going to eat again until next Monday. You wouldn't do that, would you? Would you have a meal on Monday morning and then not eat physical food again until the next week on Monday morning? And yet there are many people who eat a little spiritual fuel on Sunday, and then they don't make plans to learn anything more from God's Word until maybe next Sunday when they come back to study again. You see the danger in all this? This construction is not in every believer. Number four, this construction is built gradually, slowly, like the building of an earthly house. I want to give you an illustration. You've heard me say this before. I just bought some property, and I want a house. So I'm going to buy some shingles, and I'm going to put them in my car, and I'm going to drive down the block past that property. I'm going to throw a shingle out there. And I'm going to go around and come back. I'm going to throw another shingle. And then after I've done that for a few days, I come back and I'm expecting for there to be a completed house there. Everything done. You'd say, well, you're being foolish, aren't you? Yes, sir, that's right. You don't build a house by throwing a few shingles out over some property and expect it to automatically build itself. Neither should you expect your spiritual house to be constructed by just studying the Bible once a week or every other day or once a month or whatever. This construction is built gradually, slowly, like the building of an earthly house. Number five, when this edifice is built, then there will be something inside to give spiritual thinking ability. In other words, once the house is constructed, which may take a few weeks, a few months, a few years, but once that house is built, you go to the Old Testament and it will tell you to open up the doors and bring in magnificent pieces of furniture, spiritual furniture. So you beautify the house and you add more things to it so that you can enjoy that spiritual house. So it gives you spiritual thinking ability. resulting in stability and maturity. I have to hasten. Number six. With this construction, it's still possible to get out of harmony, out of fellowship, and act like an unsaved individual. Number seven. In the scripture, there are different names for this construction. I'll just mention these briefly. One of the names is imitator of Christ. That's a name for the spiritual house. Another name is pleroo, which is a Greek word which means fill up a deficiency. Another word that is used, or expression that is used for this spiritual house, is Christ at home in your heart. That's an expression. Christ at home in your heart. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, put on a new man. Number 8, each person then must choose to construct his own spiritual house of soul. And it takes consistency and persistence. If you're a husband, you can't do it for your wife. If you're a wife, you can't do it for your husband. If you're a mother or daddy, you can't do it for your children. You have to encourage them to build their own spiritual houses. You see what I'm saying? Each person must choose to construct his own spiritual house. This means, number 9, making decisions daily to receive the thinking of Jesus Christ, learning doctrinal precepts. Number 10, and the last one, spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which will result in true worship, having an altar in your soul. Now, the picture I want to show you, many of you have seen it over and over again. Here is a picture of how we could look upon the spiritual house of the soul. Salvation is a foundation. The filling of the Holy Spirit, next step up. Epinosis, knowledge of the Word of God. Humility, I'll not take the time to go into all these Greek words. Having a relaxed attitude, no matter what's taking place in life. Philos, having rapport. And then chara, which is having joy, peace, and happiness. I can tell you very quickly that God has a wonderful plan for each of our lives. Your existence is not an accident. It's not an accident that you're in this auditorium at this very moment. God has a design and a plan for your life. And I want to continue to be a student of the Word so that I can help you to be a student of the Word, so that all of us can advance as we should, so that on a day-by-day basis we can metabolize, we can learn. It's like putting things in a blender and mixing it. We are learning one biblical subject at a time, one verse at a time, so that we can have divine objectivity and we can build this construction, the spiritual house of the soul, which is an invisible, unseen building. I want you to know, and I've said this to you before, you folks listen like, which I could not imagine anyone listening so well. You have listened so attentively and carefully, and I thank you for it. May we bow our heads for prayer, please. We spend the last moment here today. We have 1 minute to talk about this. There may be individuals hearing this message on the internet, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to encourage you today to do that. God loves you so much, and Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man to go to the cross and die for your sins. He not only died for you, but he was buried and came forth out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, sin, and the grave. He ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, and at this very moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the Father's right hand to make propitiation for you. In other words, for God to be satisfied, for you to be satisfied, for you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to satisfy the hunger of your soul. The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, you could do that now. We must realize that there's only one way of salvation. It's not joining the church. It's not being baptized. All of these things, wherever they are, that's okay. But the most important thing for us to know is that Jesus does the saving, because he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And right now, right there where you are at this moment, if you've never done this, you could do it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, whosoever, that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say hope so or maybe so. It says shall be saved. Trust him now, will you please? Thank you, Father, for this time together. Help us to realize the importance of being advancing believers, building the spiritual house. Help us to be able to see from a divine perspective and have divine objectivity. We realize that the more we advance, the more easily it is then for us to be able to see as God sees and appreciate what God is doing for us. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed. Greet our visitors. You folks, we're glad to see you.